Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're interested in Bible matters and you're interested in a period of Bible study on Sunday morning. And you're to be commended for that. And I appreciate you supporting us by listening. And even more importantly than that, let's go beyond listening to obeying. And that is what is the ultimate goal that God wants for us in our life. This morning on the program, I'm going to talk about how that God speaks to us today. That is a misunderstood topic and a confusing topic for a lot of people, but it's actually very clear in the Word of God. How does God speak to us today? You know, a lot of times you'll be talking to somebody and they'll say, well, God laid this on my heart, or God laid that on my heart, or God spoke to me in a dream, or God spoke to me in a vision. And it's not limited to what we call televangelists or religious, high-profile religious people. There are a lot of just ordinary folks that make those claims. Well, the problem with that is that when they say that God speaks to them, that when you gather all of that information that is supposedly being revealed, it is contradictory to each other. So you have God being very confusing. He's telling one person one thing and another person something completely different. So how does God speak to us today? Well, first of all, I just want to begin by talking about the fact that God wants to speak to mankind. God is not this all-powerful being up in heaven that never contacts his creation. He speaks to mankind, and he started that with Adam and Eve, and he wants to speak to mankind, and he wants to hear from mankind. He wants mankind to speak to him. He wants to have a dialogue, if you will, back and forth. Sometimes that was in person, so to speak, with individuals in Bible times, and today we can go to God in prayer, and he will hear us. But God wants to communicate. That's really the starting point to all of this. God is not like the deist said back in the 1700s, and there are still some today who take the position of deism, that there's an almighty creator of the universe, but he doesn't ever contact his creation. That's not what the scripture teaches, but God wants to make personal contact with his creation. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's begin there, and then let's talk about how he has done that through time and how he does that, most importantly, today. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, on the sixth day of creation, when God created man and woman in his image, and by the way, being created in the image of God deals with this topic this morning. To be made in the image of God, part of that includes communication, the ability to reason and think and hear with our ears. God made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. To be able to hear and understand and communicate and talk back and respond, that's all a part of being made in the image of God. And when God made Adam and Eve, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and so forth. He said to them, God began a communication process. And later in chapter 2, Jehovah took man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And God commanded the man, saying, he said some words to them, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. He spoke to them. God can tell about himself through his physical creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, Romans 19:1 and following. And we learn about the everlasting power and divinity of God in the natural world, Romans 1, 19 and 20. But he also speaks to mankind in words. And that's important. He wants us to know what's in his mind. He doesn't want us to guess. He doesn't want us to guide ourselves. He doesn't want us to be on our own and just be out there guessing and wondering. He wants to make mankind and then specifically talk with them about how to live. That we should appreciate the love and grace and mercy and kindness and goodness of God to want to do that. Not just make us, but then talk to us and tell us how to live. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God having of old time spoken unto the fathers, this is the Hebrew writer is talking about the ancient patriarchs going all the way back to Adam and Eve, in the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, various ways, various amounts, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. But God, the Hebrew writer says, of old time spoken. God wants to speak. He wants to communicate. And in Bible times, he did that in various ways. It could be a dream. It could be a vision. It could be directly. It could be speaking to a group of people through a prophet like Isaiah or Jeremiah. But there's different ways he did that. And it was in different amounts. Not all truth was revealed at one time. But at the end of these days, and the Hebrew writer uses an expression, these days, that is used in the New Testament to talk about the time that began with the coming of Jesus Christ and will end when he comes again. During that period of time, God is intending to speak to mankind through Jesus. And so the question is, how does God speak to mankind today? We know how he spoke to mankind. When we open up the pages of Scripture, we see the different ways in which he did that. And sometimes it is quite amazing how he did that. He spoke to Balaam one time using a donkey. It's quite extraordinary in that case. But God is wanting to speak. And so how is that going on today? Well, that's the whole point. Many people are claiming special revelations from God. There are individuals who will claim this. There are entire religious groups who will claim that God is speaking to them through their prophets, such as the modern-day Mormon Church or Seventh-day Adventist Church or Jehovah's Witness or the United Pentecostal Church. There are various cults and other religious groups that say God directly speaks to them on a regular basis. And it's not necessarily some fringe religious group. Sometimes what we call just common, ordinary, modern denominations, mega churches, Joel Osteen and various ones like that, will regularly say, God spoke to me and he wanted me to give this message to you. And the people doing this, I'm sure, are sincere. They're deluded, but they are sincere. And they will often talk about what the Lord has laid on my heart. I just want to share with you this morning what the Lord has laid on my heart. You've never heard me say that on the Let the Bible Speak program the whole time I've been on air. Because that's not how God speaks to me, Chris Reeves. He doesn't lay something on my heart. He speaks to me through the pages of Scripture. He speaks to me, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, through his Son, and his Son gave his word to his apostles, and Jesus and his apostles, those words are recorded on the pages of the New Testament. That's how God speaks to me, and that's how God speaks to you. But how does God speak? Well, in Hebrews 1, verse 2, he speaks to us today through his Son. And then when we add some other Bible passages to that understanding, we understand that Jesus gave his words that he had gotten from God He gave his words to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave those words to the apostles. Turn with me to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus is not talking to everyone. John 14, 15, and 16 has been taken out of context. I've heard this many times by various denominational preachers where they will say that Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to give us words today. And they'll go to John 14, 15, or 16. But this is Jesus talking to his apostle. The promises here are to his apostles. And in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come." Look at this. "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he taketh of mine, and shall declare it unto you." So the Father gives the words to Jesus, Jesus gives the words to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles into all the truth. Verse 13, he's called the Spirit of truth, and he shall guide you into all the truth. Notice in verse 13, all things and all the truth. That's very important. He shall guide you into all the truth. There's not going to be some truth that is left out that will be given later in time through so-called latter-day revelations. That's not going to happen. So all of it. Back in John chapter 14 and verse 26. "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you." So we have all things and all truth. Not some, not most, but all. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, Paul is talking about knowledge there, and when he says that which is perfect is come, he's not talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the coming of a complete body of knowledge. And it did come. That's why the New Testament is called the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. It's complete in its knowledge base. And Paul is talking about miraculous gifts, and when the complete Word of God came that formed the New Testament, then the miraculous gifts were done away. The miraculous gifts that are seen in the New Testament church, tongue speaking, healing, prophecy, and other things like that, they went away once the New Testament was completely revealed, ending with the book of Revelation. So that which is perfect has come. That's why James called it the perfect law of liberty. We have one body of faith. We have one faith, or the faith, one body of Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 5. We don't have latter-day faiths, plural, but one faith. In Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul says that every man, not most or some, but every man can be complete in Christ by being given all the wisdom that is laid down by Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, "whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect," or complete, "in Christ." Paul was able to give every man all wisdom, not some of it or most of it, but all of it. And that's very important, because in Christ, the next chapter, verse 3, Colossians 2, 3, "in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden." So, in Christ, we have all wisdom. We can be complete through the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. "Complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Scriptures accomplish that. And when you turn over to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, the word inspired there means God breathed. God is breathing out His words and breathing into the apostles and prophets, and that's being recorded on the pages of the New Testament. And it's not just simply for part of our life, but all of our life. Whatever is necessary to be saved is going to be contained in those Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Timothy from a babe knew the sacred writings which were able to make you wise unto salvation, and then every Scripture, not most, not some, but every or all Scripture inspired of God is profitable. Look at this, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. Everything we need to know to have a right relationship with God can be found in the Scripture, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. As if one word wasn't enough, Paul repeated it again, that idea to make sure that everybody understands you are fully complete with the Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says the same thing that Paul says, but just in a little bit different way. Christ gave the apostles all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Christ gave His apostles all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And when they turned around and gave that to the people could be partakers of the divine knowledge and the divine nature. So, all of it, all things. Jude says, let us contend earnestly for the faith which was once, and it means once for all, delivered unto the saints. It's the same word used of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 9. He died once. He didn't die over and over again. He died once and once for all. That's the same word used in Jude, verse 3. So we contend earnestly for the faith, the body of teaching, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. We simply do not have so-called latter-day revelations. And there have been entire books built upon that premise, such as one of the first ones was the Quran. Muhammad, about 600 AD, claimed to get latter-day revelations from God, which ended up being the book of the Quran. About 1850, Joseph Smith up in Palmyra, New York, claimed that he discovered some hidden plates that he translated, which became the Book of Mormon. And others claim things. Mary Baker Eddy claimed to have latter-day revelations, which ended up being Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, that particular book. The Jehovah's Witness have claimed latter-day revelations, and they print those things with the Watchtower Society in Brooklyn, New York, and many other religions. And whether they're written down or not, many people are claiming latter-day revelations, and they speak contradictory to each other. Each church says, well, God is telling me to form this church, and it's different from some other church that's claiming to get the word from God. That makes God a God of confusion, as we will talk about later. So, the New Testament is divine. It's not of human origin. Every Scripture is inspired of God. And it is not human in origin. It is from God. It is complete. It's not partial. And we must obey it. So God is speaking to us today on the pages of the New Testament. The Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, was the law of Moses that God revealed to the Jews. That was done away and taken away when Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood for a new covenant. And that new covenant came in force when he died on the cross. And the conditions of that new covenant began to be laid down on the day of Pentecost. And so that New Testament, that new covenant, Matthew to Revelation, is the covenant that all people are under today. And it's the way, it's the body of message, the body of truth that God uses to speak to us today. I want to use the rest of our time just to think a little bit about if there were actual latter-day revelations, then what would be going on with God? Well, first of all, God would be a respecter of persons. He would be giving some people latter-day revelation, but not other people. He would be speaking to some people, but not all people. And that would make him a respecter of persons. And yet, Peter says in Acts 10, 34 and 35, that God is not a respecter of persons. And Paul says the same thing in Romans 2, 11. God does not treat some religious groups differently than others. He doesn't single out some people and give them messages like Joseph Smith and Muhammad, but not others. God is not a respecter of persons. He gives his word to all people equally. And that's why the Bible, over the last 2,000 years or so, has been translated into hundreds of languages and gone all over the world. And it's the most sold book. It's the most read book. It's the most popular book that has ever been put together. And God wants all mankind of all times to know his will equally. He's not a respecter of persons. Not only that, but if there are latter-day revelations, number two, then God would be contrary to his word. He said that he was going to speak to us through his son, Hebrews 1, 2. Now he's speaking through Muhammad, or he's speaking through Joseph Smith, or Mary Baker Eddy, or Joseph Rutherford for the Jehovah's Witness, or a host of other individuals. He would be lying. He would be contrary when we're told that he speaks to us in his son. Number three, he would be the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. And yet, that's what would happen because all of these latter-day revelations are contradictory to each other. Starting different churches and different religions. The religion of Islam is different from the religion of Mormonism. So who's right? Which one am I supposed to be a part of? It causes confusion. And God is not a God of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. Number four, if latter-day revelations were actually true, then God's word is not complete and final, and yet we're told that it is. We have one gospel, and we're not supposed to preach anything else. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. The faith was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we have all scripture that is inspired that makes us complete. We mentioned these passages earlier. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, all things and guided into all the truth. John 16, 13. I've talked with Mormons many, many times about John 16, 13, that the apostles would be guided into all the truth. And they said, that's true. It's all the truth for that time. But then later in 1850, God wanted to give some more truth. Well, that is just misusing the word of God. All truth means all truth. It doesn't say he will guide you into all truth for this time period. That's not what the scripture says. And I've spoken with him many times about Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And they say the same thing every time. It was once for all delivered at that time. They had everything they needed. But then later there's going to be more revelation. That's adding to the word of God. That's not what the scripture says. We can't just come along and say, well, yes, it says that, but there's going to be more later. We cannot add to the word of God like that. Number five, God has no single standard of right and wrong. We've got the Bible, and then we've got the Catholic Catechism, and then we've got the Book of Mormon, and then we've got the Hindu Vedas, and then we've got the Quran. We've got all these religious books floating around out there, and there's no longer any single standard of right and wrong. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth, and the truth will make you free," John 8:32, and John 16:13, all truth. There's got to be a centralized body of truth, a single standard. There's one faith, Ephesians 4:5. But if there's all these latter-day revelations, then there's multiple standards. And I've had people tell me over and over again, you need the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You need the Bible and the Catholic Catechism. You need the Bible and these various books from the Jehovah's Witness. Well, that's multiple standards of right and wrong. And yet we're told in Scripture that we have one standard, one faith, Hebrews 4:5. Not two, not three, one. And one means one, just like the rest of those ones there in Ephesians 4:5-6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and so forth. One. And then last of all, God adds and takes away from His Word if all of these revelations, latter-day revelations, are true, then He's adding to His Word and taking away from His Word that He said should not be done. He Himself said, Deuteronomy 4:2, Deuteronomy 12:2, Proverbs 30:6, Revelation 22:18-19, do not add to or take from the Word of God. And yet He would be doing that and violating His own message if we have latter-day revelations. The fact is, we just do not. And these people who are claiming this, they are not able to work miracles like the apostles were to confirm their word. They're not able to do that. And they always try to go back to the Bible to prove that there's latter-day revelations. I find that a little ironic. They go back to the Bible to prove that there's more revelations from God, where the Bible that they're going back to says the opposite. Friends, we just simply must test all things. Test all things, even what I say. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 1 John 4:1. Don't ever believe a lie. Don't ever believe a lie, but always love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. Have a love for the New Testament Bible truth to stick with that. God does not speak today to mankind apart from the New Testament Scriptures. He just simply does not do that. He does not speak apart from His Son and His Son's words that are recorded in the New Testament. Let's simply stay with the way God speaks to us and the message that God speaks to us. This is the Let the Bible Speak program, and it will always be that. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.